Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Robbie Raz here with you from Cigar Federation, as always, in beautiful sunny California, where, Logan, I'm going to be honest, man, the housing costs are just way too much.
I've been telling you that for, I don't know, about 3 years now, my friend.
It's just nuts.
And let me just tell you a little something, Rob. If you would have moved to Austin, Texas, 3 years ago when I told you to, you could have been in a situation like mine where my house has already appreciated 50%. You know, not to rub it in or anything, but no big deal.
Yeah, but you live in Texas. I mean, no offense to people who live in Texas. I'm not built for Texas heat, bro. I mean, I'm just not.
Dude, do you think I just run around outside all day and I don't sit inside? Our ACs work just as good here in Texas as they do in California, man.
It's like Vegas, right? Nobody goes outside. Your shoes start to melt to the street, that kind of thing.
Horrible.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know why I led with that, but just housing prices are nuts. But that's not why you guys tuned in. Logan, everything good? Things are good in Texas?
It's been a rough couple of days, but we're all good, man. I mean, Callaway turning two, I think, kind of crossed into sweet little girl to sassy little Bia, and like she's like she is freaking pushing me and Allie's last nerves.
Terrible twos.
We had to spank that Bobo, and it was not a pretty sight.
Oh, well, this might be used as evidence one day.
I know exactly.
Not something to joke about, but anyway, no, it's yeah. It's 2 years. 2 years old. You reap what you sow, brother. You're gonna have.
Yeah, I know it, man.
You're fighting an uphill battle at this point.
I know it.
We've got Nick Melillo of Foundation Cigars joining us today. Nick, thanks for taking the time, brother.
My pleasure, guys. My pleasure.
Good to be here.
I can't believe it's been a year since we talked.
It's funny, man. Like that hit me at IPCPR. We were chatting. I was like, wow, I haven't really talked to you since just about a week or two after the show last year. So we have
it's been a blur.
Yeah, no kidding, right? We've got. I know you've been busy. I mean, your hand's been forced a little bit, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But we've got a lot to catch up on. The Tabernacle, that's the new big release.
God, it's so good.
That's a beautiful cigar, man. I just posted my review on CigarFederation.com about 32 minutes ago.
I didn't get to read it yet, and I'm excited.
It's I'll put it, spoilers, I loved it.
Awesome. He basically sucked you off real good in that.
No, there was
being nice on this.
We are being nice. You can say things like fellatio.
There was
definitely no fellatio in the review. But yeah, man, it's a beautiful cigar. We'll get into the blend and everything, and when you're talking about it, I'll gush about it. And Logan's smoking one right now. But I will say this: I smoked two, and I smoked the second one today just before I wrote up my review while I was writing it actually. And the second one snuck up on me a little bit. That thing's got some kick to it for sure, man. It definitely caught me.
Some huevos.
Yeah,
you got to be careful.
Yeah. You're not smoking that one on an empty stomach at all.
You know, it's rich, it's heavy, earthy, you know, it's got a lot to it. Mm. So
we'll talk about it now. Yeah, I mean, for me, the thing that really stood out in that particular blend is the balance. It's so well balanced. It's got that earthiness up front. It's got that rich earthiness like you were talking about. It's got a nice, for me, it was like a hot red pepper spice on the retrohale. And then on that finish, I got some nice like sweet cream and chocolate, milk chocolate on the finish, which was just not too sweet, but it was just enough where you get that earth, then you go to the spice, and then you've got that sweetness on the finish. It's just perfectly, perfectly balanced. And there was, I mean, there's transitions that go on throughout the cigar. There's a lot of nuance to it. But if I wanted to break it down as much as I can, I mean, those are the three components that really jumped out at me. The construction was great. The smoke production, which we don't talk about enough, I think, was awesome. So it's just a fantastic cigar.
You forgot the most important tasting note.
What?
Cashews.
Cashews.
Dude, it does kind of taste like cashews, man.
Cashews, yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe that gives into that sweetness that I was getting kind of on the end.
Is that right? I mean, Nick, do you agree or is that way off?
I definitely, nuttiness is definitely there. I could see definitely how you can get cashew from it because that nutty in general taste from the blend is there. Did you notice too, just, were you smoking alone when you smoked?
When I was, but the aroma was phenomenal.
The aroma, you can really, I mean, in the room.
I was remiss. I didn't mention it in my notes, but I'll even, like, I don't know if, look, these are my notes. And, like, even right there, I don't know if you can read it, but it says, aroma is beautiful.
There you go.
In my like, chicken scratch. And I didn't mention that in the freaking review. I'm going to have to go back and edit it. But you're right. Yeah. That aroma was, I smoke here in my office, and this is about a 10 by 10. Uh-huh. And I went outside, and I came back in, and I just got hit with a waft of smoke as I came back in. It was like, wow, phenomenal cigar. It's a type that if I'm at the cigar shop or something, somebody's sitting down the way for me smoking it, I'm going to ask them what that cigar is because it smells so great.
Correct. It definitely stands out. And it's really everything I really want in a smoke. I mean, for broadleaf.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was you know, a couple years ago, I knew, you know, broadleaf takes a long time to cure and to do it properly. So I knew, you know, last year it was not even close to being ready, and I knew I needed to do it right, and hence the Tabernacle.
Yeah, and I mean, Logan, I know you'll chime in on this too, because you probably enjoyed the cigar about as much as I did, I would think, which is one of the few things that you and I have ever agreed on. Really, Logan and I, we don't get along very well, and we never agree.
Never agree.
It's out of my comfort zone for, like, an everyday cigar. It's not an everyday cigar.
Oh, bullshit.
All right, Logan, that's one for you, man.
I know, man. I had to say it. I had to call you.
Let me put it this way. It's for me, it's not priced to be an everyday cigar, which is fine. I don't have any problems with the price. It's the kind of cigar that I'm going to look forward to all week to smoke on Friday.
Right.
At the end of my week, after dinner, something like that. But it's out of my comfort zone as far as strength is concerned. It's much more on the high end strength than I normally gravitate mm-hmm. towards. But as far as and it's much spicier. And I'm really sensitive to spice for whatever reason. And
There's
something about the spice in this cigar that was a little bit different. And it was one of the things I mentioned in my review is that's what really stood out for me was the spice in the retrohale. It was hot, but it wasn't like foreboding. It wasn't like I didn't want to retrohale.
Right.
Sometimes you get those cigars that are so hot, it's like, dude, I'm on fire.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that. It was hot, but it contributed so much to the overall flavor profile and the balance that I wanted to retrohale. If that makes, I don't know if I'm making any sense.
No, you're making perfect sense because really, I mean, and especially when I blend cigars, if you are not retrohaling, you're really not getting the complete blend as I intended it to be because. Mm-hmm. To me, it's a 50-50 situation between the retrohale and your olfactory and, you know, what's going on in your palate. So I definitely see exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, and if that spice in the retrohale, if it's too biting, if it's too much, that's a big turnoff for me. But in this situation, it was definitely a cigar that I'd love to smoke them every day. I don't know that I would smoke it every day, or if I could, maybe, if that makes more sense. Because it is on the stronger end for me, but it is, like I said, I'm looking forward to it. It's a kind of cap off my week. It's Saturday night. I could grab any kind of bourbon, just about. There's maybe a nice single malt, some Japanese whiskey, something like that, paired up real nice. It would settle really nicely with me at the end of the week, absolutely.
You know, it's definitely a special smoke. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of care, a lot of effort. It's definitely, you know, similar to, you know, the care and effort, of course, that I put into Wawense. It's just a completely different smoke and flavor profile and tobaccos and everything. But, you know, being from Connecticut, broadleaf is an extra special leaf for me. So, you know, we definitely took extra care in, you know, everything in the project. But, you know, the filler tobaccos, too, they're just all the top-end best filler tobaccos that you can get in the world. And, you know, I just wanted to put them together properly so you get a very complex, rich, you know, extra special broadleaf smoke. So,
and that's, I mean, it's complex, it's rich, it is extra special. I rated it as a box buy. I scored it a 95. It's, one of the highest scores I've ever given. It's a front runner for Cigar of the Year for me. It's just fantastic. Logan, what do you have to contribute?
All I got to say is you might only be smoking this on special occasions. I'll be waking and baking with this cigar probably at least 3 days a week.
This is good to hear, Logan.
Hey, man.
Baking, I like that.
Dude,
but I tell you, the Coronas are – I just started smoking.
What's your favorite Vitola?
My favorite Vitola is definitely the 6x52 Toro, hands down. Just – I've always been a traditional – excuse me, I'm spitting in my screen – traditionally, I've always personally and in blending, 6x52 Toros have always, for me, represent blends. It's right in the middle. If you go bigger ring gauge, smaller ring gauge. I'm definitely, as time has moved on, I've become a big Corona smoker also. So right now, it's the 6x52 and the Corona for me. Okay. But you know, the short torpedoes are smoking really well. The Robustos I was smoking all day at the beginning of the week. And you know, they're all got something special. Everybody likes a size, you know, a little bit different. So personally for me it's a 6x52.
Yeah, I was curious because you in the I still can't pronounce the name of your first cigar worth of crap anyways.
Dude, we're not
even going to go down that path.
Wednesday.
There you go. You got it.
I could do it if I wanted to.
You can learn a new word. Come on, man.
No, I can't. I did
teach my daughter. You can say the wise man. I mean, that works.
Wednesday. But, yeah, so you were like – I remember you saying that the Churchill – was one of your favorites when you first launched it out. So I was curious. I mean, I haven't smoked. I think the only thing I've smoked is the Toro, and it's – I mean, it kind of fits me like a glove. I mean, I would say that, you know, it's a cigar, like Rob said, you know, it kind of fits the bill all around. But, like, I mean, I could see myself smoking this at least one or two of these a day, like for real. Like, it's a cigar that – and I hate to give this guy any props, but it's kind of like the Roma Craft, you know, Aquitaine, right? I smoke probably one of those a day, for sure, pretty much every day. I can see this being one of those cigars because it's just that freaking good.
Well, good now to hear. Now that we've inflated your ego a little bit.
I know, man.
My head, can you see it inflated? I'm going to try to keep it wrapped up.
I actually smoked the Way Wednesday this weekend in that Churchill size. And it is a fantastic cigar. And it was – I had a buddy over and we were brewing. And we were brewing a double IPA, and he brought over some sours. And I don't know if you guys, Logan, I know you haven't. Nick, I don't know if you're a beer guy or not.
No, I'm more of a bourbon guy.
But sour beers are they're really hot right now. They're really hip. And it's exactly what it sounds like. They're sour. It doesn't really taste much like beer. It's super, super sour, very tart. And we were trying to pair with cigars, and I said, well, I've never really paired a sour before. And it actually worked out really well. I was surprised.
Try that.
It's an acquired taste, man. And they're actually really expensive, too, because they take a long time to make. So I don't know. I really like them as far as sours, but there's not a ton of them in my fridge. But it actually paired really well. So anyway, we've got a bunch of audience questions here.
I got a bunch of questions.
What's up, audience? I saw somebody made a comment. He's like, don't let him rap tonight. Don't let him do any hip-hop.
Oh, Logan, are you going to do a little beatbox?
No. We can't share the listeners away.
No, we can't, man.
Well, maybe we'll do that in the after-hours segment.
I can't rap, man.
So we've talked about the Tabernacle, and I'll just ask this Bob Dogg's question here. What was your inspiration behind the Tabernacle? But tell us a little bit about your inspiration. I know you wanted to feature that, the Broadleaf. And tell us and break down the blend a little bit too, because we didn't really get too much into the blend when we were talking about it.
Yeah, you know, in general, cigar smoking is always it's crazy because this week actually marks 20 years of me being in the business. 20 wow. years ago this week, I started working at a shop called the Calabash Shop in Hamden, Connecticut. I had just started university. So I really got into, you know, tobacco on a level of how indigenous cultures were using tobacco, this ceremony that was surrounded with tobacco. Connecticut, again, you know, really rich history. The United States in general, you know, it's interesting that tobacco is coming under attack, but if it wasn't for this crop, the United States of America wouldn't exist. And, you know, I think Washington called the revolution, you know, the tobacco wars, because tobacco was the backing of the loan that the French had given to, you know, the colonists at the time. Washington said, if you don't have money, send tobacco.
It's true.
This time I really had gotten into it and, you know, learned that this is a sacred plant. It's been being used for, we don't even know how long. So, and you know, early on, you know, I got a nice humidor. My dad gave me, you know, that first year of university I started, and, you know, I used to treat all my smokes as really a sacred thing. So leading up to this brand, I really, you know, Tabernacle really is a movable container of something that is holy. So I thought it was perfect for this project. And, you know, I knew I wanted to use Connecticut broadleaf. I had been working on this project for a couple of years. So it was interesting. After I had left Drew Estate back in 2014, I started sourcing tobacco. I have a consulting company that's active for tobacco called Melillo International. So I source tobacco from all over the world, Mexico, of course, Connecticut, Nicaragua. So I had sourced a crop from Connecticut that AJ Fernandez actually started curing almost 2 years ago. So he's been working on it. We've been working on it together. He's just got an incredible operation down in Nicaragua. He is beyond passionate, and he is 110% about tobacco. And his inventories are unprecedented, and his operation is unprecedented. So I knew he was the one that I wanted to work with on this project. He grows tobacco on a farm called Soledad, which is a farm that I first moved to when I moved to Nicaragua in 2003. So I knew I wanted to use some of that tobacco in the blend also. So the Tabernacle, you know, the imagery here, the original Tabernacle is from the Ark of the Covenant. So the Ark of the Covenant, this imagery here is actually of a king from Ethiopia called Haile Selassie. Now, it's interesting that Ethiopia has a history of 3,000 years of kings and queens, and they actually claim to have the Ark of the Covenant, which was always fascinating to me because growing up, I only knew about Ethiopia as starvation and we are the world. But it turns out that pre-1974, before the communists moved in, Ethiopia had a very strong relationship with the United States, especially during World War II, and they have this amazing history that traces back to Solomon and Sheba. So I've been a big fan of this history. I actually lived in Italy for a while. I worked with a lot of Ethiopian peoples in Italy, and I've just always wanted to really express my love for this culture, and that's how Tabernacle, you know, came to be. And this imagery comes from 1930, which is actually imagery from when the crowning, the coronation happened in 1930. So I thought it was a great, you know, great image and very impactful and, you know, represented the Tabernacle properly.
Awesome. Yeah, no, it's a phenomenal blend. And like I said, I could keep going on and on about it. Just to remind to the audience, you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're here with Nick Melillo, and Logan and I are both gushing over the Tabernacle, which is a little bit weird because we never gush over the same thing. This next segment is brought to us by Cigar Oasis. Cigar Oasis is the leader in cigar humidification. Are your cigars safe? Set it and forget it with your Cigar Oasis. I use a Cigar Oasis. I've got the Magna in my cabinet humidor. Logan, you use Cigar Oasis?
I use the XL because I'm better than you.
It's true. It is true. You're definitely bigger than me. Well, you set that up with the XL.
I know I did.
Yeah, so check them out at CigarOasis.com. So let's go in. We've got a lot of...
I have a question.
Go ahead.
So on the Tabernacle, I know correct me if I'm wrong, but it's rolled at Casa Fernandez.
No, it's wrong. That's not incorrect. No.
So Rob's review is incorrect.
Yeah, it is rolled with... It's rolled with...
It's AJ.
A little confused. AJ, correct.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Did I put Hernandez in there?
Fernandez.
Did you really?
Yeah, I gotta check it out. No, it's in there.
So Logan, you know, with Wawense, you know, Topsa Aganorsa, which is Casa Fernandez, is one of the leaders in growing Nicaraguan rap reliefs. So for Wawense, I knew I wanted to do 100% Nicaraguan. So these guys, you know, they specialize in Nicaraguan rapper fillers. And for this reason, you know, I chose to work with those guys for Wawense, because I felt they, you know, they did that best. And so for the Tabernacle, I had selected this tobacco a while ago. And AJ, his tobacco inventories are, as far as varieties of different types of seed and filler tobaccos and binder tobaccos, exceptional. And he gave me access to everything. And so AJ's where Tabernacle's made.
Yeah.
That's what it says. Good question.
Good question. It was right. I have to admit, I was wrong.
He was trying to call you out.
Again, I know, he was right.
He looks for those opportunities whenever he can get them. I don't blame him, because I do the same thing. So let's move on, because there's more to talk about than just the Tabernacle. We could talk about that all night. But let's talk about the Charter Oak a little bit. Jason Myers wants to know, he says, your website says the Charter Oak is offered in broadleaf and Connecticut Shade wrappers. Are these different? Are these core blends the same with just different wrappers? Are they different cigars? But kind of break down the Charter Oak as well.
Yeah, so the Charter Oak, the core blends are similar. The wrappers and binders are different. So the core blend of the filler tobaccos are similar. Charter Oak, you know, my grandfather grew up on Connecticut brands. There was a ton of Connecticut brands at the turn of the century in New Haven, also in Hartford. My grandfather worked next to one of the factories, F.D. Grave. F.D. Grave Cigars, old brand from Connecticut. I actually went to school with one of the grandsons. So I wanted to pay tribute to Connecticut and these old-style Connecticut brands. So hence the Charter Oak. The Charter Oak is basically the symbol of Connecticut when you go to Hartford, the capital. It was an old Charter Oak tree that was actually very prized by the indigenous tribes. And then also in the 1600s, one of the kings of England was trying to take away some of the rights of Connecticut and their charter. And the charter was actually hidden from the British in this tree. And unfortunately, it was blown down in a hurricane in the late 1800s. But they actually used the wood, and it's in the Capitol buildings. They made special chairs and whatnot. But I wanted to do, you know, a tribute to Connecticut. We used the second cuts of broadleaf from the Tabernacle on the broadleaf Charter Oak, so we can maximize, of course, the yields and nothing gets wasted. The Connecticut Shade, unfortunately, my arm was sort of forced to use Connecticut Shade grown in Ecuador. The Connecticut Shade crops in general in Connecticut, unfortunately, have gotten hit really hard over the, you know, the past 20 years, but specifically over the past year. There's a lot of growers that are not even growing this year, and that's due to some issues with crop yields, blue mold, and, you know, just in general, Ecuador is fortunate not to have to build these shaded tents to grow the leaf because of the cloud dispersion down there, and, you know, the seeds just take really well. So it is Connecticut Shade from Ecuador, but
okay. Now, actually, maybe. I have a follow-up question here, and this is from, man, I'm not even sure how to say this. Hagud? It's NHAHGUOD.
That's an awesome name.
Hagud?
Nobody cares.
Yeah, sorry, I jacked up your name, but it's a good question. And this is probably pretty close to your heart with this. It says, the acreage devoted to growing Connecticut broadleaf in the Connecticut River Valley seems to diminish every year. This is something I wasn't aware of. With more farms going out of business, are you concerned about the supply of Connecticut broadleaf wrapper and what can be done to increase its production?
So in general, I would say the Connecticut shade is what's gotten hit harder. Broadleaf has actually been pretty steady over the past 10 years. And you know, I've worked really hard in the Valley to for farmers to grow more of a premium style broadleaf. I don't know if you guys are aware of a cigar called Backwoods. It's more of a, you know, that cigar uses broadleaf, and it's a very small cigar, and it's very easy to get high yield because you can cut in between the veins. So a lot of farmers were accustomed to growing that style, which takes a little bit less attention. So since like 2006, I've been working with certain farmers in the Valley, throughout the Valley, to grow more of a premium style broadleaf. So when I'm looking for premium styles, I'm not looking, broadleaf can get huge. I mean, we call it elephant ears, which is, for me, from a production standpoint, is not what I'm really looking for specifically when I'm making super premium styles, because it's so big, you need a lot of other sticks to utilize the yield from it. But sometimes I'm looking for smaller leaves, cleaner leaves, less of a vein structure. So to get back to the question, the quality of broadleaf hasn't been getting hit. It has over the past 50 years. I mean, in the height in the 50s, I believe it was close to 30,000 acres was being grown in the Valley.
Wow.
I think we're down to about 3,500 acres. What's really been getting hit is the shade crops, because shade you can grow in places like Ecuador and get yields. If you take broadleaf and do that, you're getting a completely different animal. And there is different broadleafs. You have Pennsylvania broadleaf. AJ actually grew some broadleaf in Esteli, which is interesting, but you know, very difficult as far as wrapper yields from it. But in general, you can't replicate what the Connecticut River has left as far as soil types for broadleaf. So you get a completely different animal if you're growing it anywhere else. Whereas Connecticut shade, you know, again, Ecuador, you go on the farms of Ecuador, it's, you know, it's just unbelievable. The yields that you're getting from the Connecticut shade plants is just, I mean, they would be jumping for joy if you could do that in the Connecticut Valley. I mean, imagine you got to build all these tents in the Valley, whereas in Ecuador, it's just beautiful, silky, golden, you know, Connecticut shade. Whereas, you know, in the Valley, you're dealing with more of a yellowish tone to the wrapper. You're dealing with a lot of green spots, and just overall, the yield is just not great. So we're hoping, you know, I'm constantly working in the Valley to maintain that, you know, they stay on the map.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
there are some really good rappers coming out of Ecuador, though. The Ecuador and Habano too is fantastic.
That stuff is incredible. You know,
that's
changed the game. I mean, for it's
a phenomenal rapper.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Logan, you got a question?
Yeah, I do. So, I mean, the Tabernacle, Nick, runs, you know.
I love Logan questions.
Because they're always, like, either really stupid or really hard and, like, right, kind of make you feel like a jerk. And this one's going to be probably a jerk question, so just warning you.
I love it. Yeah.
The Tabernacle runs $9 to $12, obviously a upper-end, super premium stick. Charter Oak runs anywhere, you know, $4 or $5, kind of $6, right?
Correct.
So it's obviously a more of a value smoke. Like,
right.
Are you worried about someone smoking that, because everything you've really produced has been super premium. Are you worried about the forte into that more of a budget stick that people will look at it and say, wow, like if somebody smoked the Charter Oak first and be like, wow, that wasn't that great. And then they might not try the Tabernacle, or are you trying to go after someone completely different with the Charter Oak?
I mean, Charter Oak, I'm going after, you know, guys that are not, you know, not spending $9 to $12 and, you know, that are not smoking the Tabernacle every day. You have to take it for, it's a completely different cigar as far as the blend, the tobaccos that are used in the blend for Charter Oak. I mean, even though the broadleaf wrapper we're using some of the second cuts, but it's a completely different cigar. And I would have liked to gone, you know, less inexpensive to really, because the old Connecticut brands, I mean, they were really in that, you know, $3 range almost. Unfortunately, nowadays it's very difficult to do, especially with, you know, the potential quality in that. I just couldn't do it. So I wanted to go with something, you know, definitely I think some guys, you know, with Wednesday and Tabernacle, it's, you know, it's tough out there, man. People got a lot going on. So, you know, I wanted to definitely make sure that foundation in our portfolio, we have something for everybody. So,
yeah, not everybody can, what was the term that you said? Like, wake up and burn?
No, dude.
What was it?
He used to smoke the Doja. Wake and bake, dog.
Not everybody's baller like Logan. Yeah.
Not everybody's going to wake and bake with you know, a $12 cigar.
Well, you know what? They should, because that's the way you got to do it.
That keeps your pockets lined pretty well, too, so that's good, too.
My pockets are just fine.
Pockets getting fatter.
Because the low property costs, man. That's what we're talking about.
That appreciating property cost, man.
Full circle, man. Telling you, man, to get in the door to anything in this area that's closer to my wife's work, she works in Jack London Square in Oakland, we're looking at 7 large.
No, dude, that's insane.
For 1,200 square feet and dude, no yard.
No.
It's crazy. I can't have no yard. I have dogs.
No, you have to have a yard.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But we could go on that forever. But I'm going to jump back into some of these audience questions here.
So, Rob, I got a really nice shed on my property that's about 250 square feet. I'd be totally willing to rent it to you for like $300 a month.
Yeah, that's awesome. We'll talk about it. Okay. Maybe I'll lease your grandmother's land in Missouri or whatever.
Hey, man, Nick, if you ever want to grow some Missouri tobacco, we have 50 acres.
Missouri tobacco?
Yeah, dude, like right above the Missouri River in North Platte, they used to grow a bunch of tobacco, like cigarette stuff. But the I got to tell Nick, though, but you brought it up. Soil is so deep, man, when you plow it, you don't hit anything. It's because when the Ice Age, you know, it came down and stopped right at the Missouri River, basically. So It brought down all that good soil. It's rich and deep. And if you ever, you know, interested in growing some Missouri tobacco, I got 15 acres. We could probably work out a deal.
You should try growing something. I mean, a little test crop.
I don't even know how to do that. I'd be like spreading seeds like I put down fertilizer. It would be a joke, dude. I need someone knows what they're doing.
I think we should do it and we should document it because it might be entertaining enough to watch.
That's what I'm saying. This is like the Sig Fed, our first reality show, man. I'm telling you, put us up in a house for a year. It would be awesome. I don't know who would make it out alive.
Nobody would.
It would be awesome. Okay, so we're going to jump into your third release. Nick, let's talk about the Upsetters a little bit. This is a question from On. He says, talk to us about the Upsetters. The majority of cigar geeks probably does not venture into the infused world too far. So tell us kind of what was the impetus into this creation and what made you go in that route?
So, you know, working in a cigar store starting in the business, you know, I'm in this business as a cigar, you know, as a retailer to find items and products that people like. And I don't necessarily need to like, you know, everything. I want to find what people, I'm not here to tell people what they should like and what they shouldn't like. This is enjoyment. So if somebody enjoys something, I can't be knocking them for it. So, you know, I've been aware of this infused market. You know, back in the 90s, this sort of segment started with a guy called Lars Teeten that started. A lot of people don't know him. He's still on the market. But when I started working, he was, you know, the man in this market segment of infused. And then, you know, we see it was taken over and dominated by a really great company for the past, you know, 16 years. You know, one of the first cigars that I blended back in 2003 was actually an infused product, Kahlua. So I've been very involved in a lot, you know, this market segment. So like I said before, I wanted to have a portfolio that really we had something for everybody. So hence the Upsetters. I've been a really big fan of Jamaican culture, you know, for the past 20 years. Around the same time I started working in the industry 20 years ago, you know, one of the first cigars that I smoked at that time, you know, super premium, was actually Macanudo Hyde Park.
Macanudo.
No cellophane in the box, made in Kingston, Jamaica, with Jamaican tobacco. So I've been very aware of Jamaica and its role in, you know, the cigar the cigar world. And Jamaica was, you know, before 99, 2000, Jamaica was producing some top-end cigar. Royal Jamaica, you had Temple Hall, you had Macanudo, of course. You had the Cifuentes factory right in Kingston. And you had the Royal Jamaica factory, which is in a place called Maypen, which is just west of Kingston. So a couple years ago, about a year and a half ago, I went to Jamaica for Bob Marley's 70th birthday. Flew in last second. I was working on a Wednesday in Nicaragua, realized that Bob's birthday was coming up, and been a big fan of Bob for a long time. Flew in for about 5 days after the celebrations. I went around looking for tobacco. And interestingly enough, tons of people are growing tobacco. It's called cow tongue. It's an indigenous tobacco to the island. It's called cow tongue or silver tongue because of the leaf structure is a little bit more narrow and actually looks like a cow tongue. But it's indigenous to the island. The Arawak have been, you know, growing it way before Columbus arrived. And a lot of people grow tobacco in their small crops. They'll have small farms and they actually grow tobacco. And almost everyone grows tobacco if you're living in the mountains and farms. I was able to meet up with people that were in the industry and grew on a little bit larger scale and, you know, began really developing the idea for Upsetters. It's interesting because in Jamaica, the Arawak actually, you know how Kentucky Fire cured, they use hardwoods to cure in the barns. So they throw hardwoods, smoke out in the curing barns. They actually, the Arawak use actual herbs, not that herb, but different herbs in the curing process of tobacco, which, Upsetters, you know, is an old house band. It was one of the original house bands for Bob Marley back in the day. So I thought it was a perfect name to for the brand, because I've been a big fan of the Upsetters band for a long time. And the imagery comes from in this when, you know, this reggae rock steady movement was happening, Jamaica was very obsessed with spaghetti westerns. So a lot of the album art cover of the early reggae albums from the late 60s always depicted the return of Clint Eastwood or the return of Django. Hence the imagery based off of an old film called The Harder They Come from Jimmy Cliff. You know, the lone hero that comes to town and saves the town from the bad guys. So it is different. It's, you know, it's not for the traditional connoisseurs. You know, it's sweet. It's aromatic. I wanted to really blend the Jamaican and Nicaraguan fillers. The Jamaican tobacco is surprisingly very mild. It's very mild and more on the creamy side. Goes really well with the Nicaraguan fillers. It's not overly powerful from the sweetness level or the aromatic level, so I tried to blend that in properly so it wasn't completely, you know, dominant and that's all you were tasting. So it's definitely something different.
Yeah, that's interesting. Go ahead, Logan.
I smoked it.
What'd you think?
It didn't suck. Let me just give you
the fact. I love that. That's a great answer.
It didn't suck. Like, yeah. I'll be honest. There's a lot of infused stuff on the market, and I can't even touch that stuff. This I smoked all the way to the end, and it's not – it is sweet, but it's not, like, sickly sweet or anything like that.
Cloying.
A good word. It's not overly sweet, and, like, you can still taste the tobacco. Like, it's not – I don't know. It's just – I don't know. I don't know how to describe it really, but
– it's not dominant.
It's definitely not dominant. It's something that
– and that was the idea.
Yeah.
That was the idea, to complement the tobacco, still get the infusion. Go ahead.
No, and it makes sense. I mean, Logan, you and I probably aren't the target demographic for the Upsetters. There's folks out there who this is what they smoke. And, I've smoked a handful of infused things in my life, and it's all been more like a coffee-infused style, like the Tabox and things like that. the other lines, like the acids and things. I've never smoked an acid before, so that's not really my bag.
You've never smoked an acid, ever?
We've talked about this, like, often, yeah. You guys tried to get me to smoke when we were on safari, but I didn't do it.
Weak. Yeah.
You know, no, I actually do like the Tabox. I like those for breakfast. That's actually not bad. But, no, I can. The way you were explaining it, Logan, makes a lot of sense to me, at least, where you're saying like, you were able to smoke it all the way through. You could still taste the – just saying you could still taste the tobacco to me gives me a pretty good idea of what it's going to be like to smoke.
You take any infusions out, you're left with a solid premium cigar.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Grade A fillers, you know. Grade A wrappers, so.
Yeah, I'm curious. I haven't smoked it yet. I'm curious to see what that one's like.
You're not dealing with the Indonesian scraps and stuff like that, you know?
Who puts an Indonesian binder on their cigar, Logan?
Rob does.
I totally, like an idiot. I totally did. The cigar actually wasn't that bad, though.
It's good tobacco, man.
Yeah, it was nice. It did what I wanted it to do.
What you get, and that's what it's there for. That's what the thing with tobacco. I don't, you know, one is better than the other, or this and that. No, everything has its own individual characteristic. And
absolutely,
I don't know. I have a perversion against Indonesia, and here's why: it's because it is really good for combustion, but it doesn't taste like anything. Like its whole premise is to be like a chameleon and take on the flavor of another thing. It doesn't add anything to the mix.
Here's the thing, Logan. Like.
That is a true statement.
No, I agree with you. But like, coming up with a, and I'll put this in terms that I can speak about, coming up with a recipe to brew a beer, there's certain things that you're going to put in there because you want good mouthfeel, you want head retention, you want certain things. There's a malt that I use called Carapils, and it's dextrose, so it's non-fermentable sugars, and it doesn't provide any flavor. But you still put some of it in there, so you get head retention and you get mouthfeel, and I think it adds a little bit of body, but that's about it. That's all it does.
So you're basically adding like red 3 and yellow 15. Logan, have you not?
Well, yes, but not really in those exact same terms. I mean, it's still a grain.
Hey man, I just hate Indonesia. Just that. You're not going to convince me otherwise.
No, I'm not suggesting that it's great. I'm just saying everything has its place. That's all.
Okay.
Logan, have you not smoked Aging Room?
Not in a while, man. I'll tell you that. No, man.
I haven't smoked one in a while too. But what's that? You're on a delay.
I know, dude. It's freezing up. No, let me just say, I smoked an Aging Room. The last one I smoked was at Intertobac last year, and that'll be the last one I smoke in a long time.
Yeah, so you're a true Indonesian hater.
If it just fell off the face of the earth, like, I'd be all right.
It's down to the core of his being. We're getting into Logan's core values.
I just hate it.
Yeah, absolutely. To remind the audience, you're listening to Cigar Chat brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're discussing Logan's hate of Indonesian tobacco with Nick Melello of Foundation Cigars. Logan, this next segment is brought to us by who?
This next segment is brought to us by the Indonesian Tobacco Growers Association of America. I'm just kidding. It's actually brought to us by our good friends at Fratello Cigars. Inspired by a simple box that molds a very complex cigar, the Fratello Boxer series was born from an exciting flavor profile of its father, the Fratello Boxer. Ask for your local tobacconist or on Cigar Federation, shameless plug, ignite your journey.
I almost spit IPA all over my computer when you said that. It would have been a disaster because I would have billed you for a new computer.
I can't afford that, Rob.
Yeah, it's not.
I gotta have money for my tabernacles, man.
There you go. It's not in the budget. let's see. So we've got a ton of questions here. I want to start working my way through. Let's see. So okay, well,
ask me the good ones.
We've talked about this, and it's going to be something. You and Steve Sock are always going to be tied together. Always. I mean, your releases are always going to be tied together. It's just how it is, at least in our eyes, anyway. And so Bob Dog wants to know, is there any chance we will see a collaboration between you and Sokka?
You know, it might be difficult now just with all this FDA business.
That's a good point, yeah, because now we don't get to do anything fun anymore.
Yeah, so I would love to. It's just, you know, things have been so crazy. This year has just been, you know, wild. So unfortunately, our government might put some roadblocks into making that happen.
They might preclude that from going down, which is unfortunate because it sounds like we're being robbed of a great cigar. What do you got, Logan?
No, well, I can't really talk about it off air, but I got an idea that we might be able to facilitate, Nick. Let's talk on off air.
Okay.
All right. Off air.
Logan's got he'll take his answer off the air. He's got some interesting stuff he wants to talk about. Let's see. Well, there's a lot of things here. So there's a lot of questions, and I'll just paraphrase. How did you end up working with AJ Fernandez in their factory as far as, you know, getting the Tabernacle out into the community? How did that come about?
So I've always been a big admirer of AJ, and we're about the same age, and he's, you know, since coming into the industry, he's really made just incredible just progress as a cigar maker, as a tobacco guy. So whenever we were around each other, we've known each other for a long time. He actually moved in when we moved out of the Drew Estate factory downtown in the center of Esteli. He ended up moving into that factory. This is probably 2007. Mm-hmm. And we called it the Good Luck Factory because that's when he started, and he's just been crushing it ever since. So we've always just, super just geeks. When we get around each other, we're just talking about tobacco constantly. So, when I started with the tobacco consultation and sourcing crops, it was a perfect situation to really get in there and, get a good broadleaf crop and, work with him on the fermentation. And again, this has taken, this is one of the issues with broadleaf. You have to know what you're doing. It's a very difficult tobacco to cure, and you have to have a sufficient amount of it in order to get the yields you want and to also cure it properly. So it really started there from a tobacco level, and just being a big lover. And he's just, he's 110% authentic. He's a tobacco guy through and through. So he was just, really excited to work with me too, and we can't be, I think the both of us are just super happy, because we share the same passion. Not to sound, ridiculous, but, we're just around tobacco, and it's just, especially going through his facilities, he's just doing mind-blowing things with hybrids and different seeds, and his farms are impeccable. When you go to his farms, everything is just, there's not a leaf out of place. Mm. From a similar size operation as he's at. So it just worked really, it just worked perfectly. He's got a tremendous team. And, when it comes down to it, he had all the tobacco that I wanted to. And you see that with the Tabernacle.
Awesome. Yeah, it's, there's follow-up questions here. One from Jeff LaPlante, where he wants to know if you see yourself working with AJ on future collaborations and future projects. But I'm reminded that there aren't going to be too many future collaborations and future projects. And it's bumming me out a little bit, I'll be honest.
You're definitely going to see something like that.
Oh, I'm sure there was a lot.
I can't really talk about it now, but
no, absolutely, a lot of things that were released last week that we don't know about yet, and I'm 100% positive we're going to see some more things from Foundation Cigars over the next year and a half, and I'm looking forward to all that stuff. I mean, but it is kind of a bummer to look at those questions and if you haven't worked with somebody already, that you're not going to be able to work with them in the future. It's just kind of funky. Just a question from go ahead.
It's a very large turning point in the history of the industry this past Monday.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's a bummer.
Unfortunately, unfortunately, the FDA is coming down on something that, really has no threat to public health. We don't deal with children. Everybody's probably heard this a million times. We are 0.009% of the whole tobacco category.
That's a number I haven't heard before. But it makes sense.
We're 2% of the machine-made market.
Okay.
So all the stuff you see in C-stores, gas stations, that's billions of units. You know, I think this past year reported between Nicaragua, Honduras, and the Dominican Republic, premium handmade cigars was about 320 million units.
Wow.
Whereas I believe the mass market is close to 15 billion. So we're 2% of the actual cigar category, but when you take all of tobacco products, we are 0.009%.
Wow.
So there is no public threat to health. There's, you know, there is no argument, really. It's just we're getting lumped into all of these other products because people that don't are not cigar smokers, they don't see it. You know, there's no logic to what they're doing, really.
It's like if Logan does something stupid and by proxy I'm kind of lumped into that. I wasn't even in the room.
Imagine.
I had nothing to do with it, but it's still right. It's like he does something dumb and it's like, well, now I'm dumb too. Yeah.
I can think of a situation that happened about a week ago, actually.
Oh, geez.
And it wasn't even my fault.
It's always your fault, bro.
But you gotta hold on. It was not my fault.
It was not your fault. Not your fault. I'm not even sure what we're talking about.
You know exactly what we're talking about.
I do. You're right. So we've got one final segment. we've got one final segment before our Armed Forces Radio segment is up. You're listening to Cigar Chat brought to you live on CigarFederation.com. And Logan, this last segment is brought to us by who?
Drew Estate. Download the app. Don't be a poser. Out.
I love that read. That's always my favorite. The don't be a poser.
Is that the line?
No, I just
that is a great line.
No, Logan just makes it up.
I dig it.
Sam's just like, hey, man, I don't want to have to go through legal on this. You just make up with whatever you want. So one week it was like Drew Estate. They good. Back to you, Rob.
I like the don't be a poser, though. That's always good.
I
clicked on this question like 4 minutes ago, but I'm going to ask it now.
Please.
And this is another one from On. On asked a lot of questions today. Said, On wants to know, who is your right-hand man? Who do you rely on when you know, things are going wrong? You need help with something, or who do you go to?
My man Dave Sather is my right hand. He's a VP for Foundation. Dave, you know, we got a really great crew that's just been helping me and making this possible. Dave is definitely one of them and helped me launch this company last year. Dave, I actually have known. He used to call on me in the store back in the late 90s. He was actually the second person hired by Drew Estate, I think, back in 99 or 2000.
Oh, wow.
So Dave used to call on me at the store. This was like 99, 2000. When I moved to Nicaragua in 2003, my third week, I was living at a hotel up the street from the factory for a couple of months until I moved into the farmhouse. And Dave and I roomed together for that week. And we became, you know, good friends after talking on the phone for all those years. And Dave left Drew Estate back in, I think, 2010, 2011. He's involved, he's from Virginia, was involved in some other businesses, and I told him the idea, you know, last year that I was going to launch Foundation, and I needed him. So I've been fortunate to have him by my side and helping. You know, he's been handling a lot of the U.S. side of things because we saw this FDA coming at the beginning of the year, and our plan sort of changed at the beginning of the year. We launched for Wednesday, and, you know, we were hoping for me to get out. I haven't been in the stores in the past 13 years, you know. I've been in Nicaragua, so I've been sort of out of the retail and distribution side. So we were planning on going to hit the road, but seeing this FDA coming on board, I said, I have to finish, you know, and all these brands, Charter Oak, Upsetters, Tabernacle, were in the works. You know, they've been in the works. So last year I decided I'm going to focus on these and get these done. So unbelievable. So, and recently we hired a guy by the name of Rick Ardito, who's heading up the Upsetters brand. And Rick is actually the first person I met from Drew Estate back in 1997.
We've had Rick on the show before.
And there's a reason we haven't had him back on.
No, Rick's a lot of fun.
I love Rick. Don't get me wrong. Well, he makes me feel awkward.
That's what he's there for.
Well, I know. That's what he does, and he's good at it.
How long ago was he on the air?
It's been a couple of years.
Like when he started with 724, it'd been like 2.5, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Excuse me. Rick is a unique human being and character, almost like yourself, Logan.
Thank you.
Oh, don't give Logan compliments like that.
I don't know if that was a compliment.
I don't know. In this context, I don't know if it was or it wasn't.
No, we'll take it. We'll take it. Okay, so we're right up against it. We just got a couple minutes left here.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. So this is a question from On and another one from On because he asked so many questions. And this is a very – this is a Lancero-driven question.
Oh, boy.
Elway Wednesday versus Tabernacle. Which blend will bring joy and peace to the world in this special Vitola?
The answer is both.
That's a cop out.
Not a cop out. You know, they're just completely different blends.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, the Wednesday is more in that Cuban-esque style, you know, cedar spice and everything nice, but, you know, distinctly Nicaraguan, of course. And then you have the Tabernacle, which is, you know, that Connecticut broadleaf, that earthy, sweet. So I guess it depends on what you're in the mood for, but I think both will suffice. It just depends on what you know, everybody's different. So
yeah, I'm eager to check both
the question.
You can't really, it's like, which one's your favorite? I'm eager to check both of them out in the Lancero as well. And one final question here, and I'll just paraphrase, let everybody know when everything is available to purchase. Most of the stuff shipping now, right?
Okay, so here's the deal. There was small batch shipments that are hitting the market this past week and this week. So this past week and next week. And then the next shipments are going to be coming in at the beginning of September. So what's out in the market now, get them if you can. And then September, they're going to start coming in, you know, more steadily, probably about mid-September.
So it's almost like a movie where it's like limited release in certain theaters and then your nationwide release in September.
Correct.
That's exactly what it is. So it's like if you've got one of those special theaters near you, you can go watch the movie, but otherwise you have to wait until, you know, September to check it out. No, it's a pretty good analogy.
You get some Tabernacles, you know.
That Tabernacle, man, I'm telling you, man, that thing is a heater. It's fire, right, Logan? That's it.
Dude, it's, I tell you, wake and bake, dog. If you got the cash money, wake and bake.
That's what I did this morning with the Corona.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. And it was wonderful, wasn't it? Yes.
Delicious, and I had a nice cafe con leche with it, and it was just
perfect.
Hitting proper. Perfect.
On all cylinders. Nick, appreciate you spending the time, man. Our Armed Forces Radio segment is at an end. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Really do appreciate it. Everybody out there in the Armed Forces, out there in the Armed Forces, I say this every week, you guys are built to do something that I'm not built to do. I have nothing but respect for you guys and you putting your life on the line to you know, fight for our freedoms around the world. I hope you were able to take an hour off, enjoy a cigar, and listen to our musings and laugh at us a little bit. I hope everybody gets home safe. We'll be back next week with Logan's going to be flying solo next week.
It's probably going to be the best show we've had.
It's going to be the Logan show. No guest, just no filter. Logan unfiltered. There it is.
Yes.
Is that like leaving your 16-year-old kid at home for a week by himself?
Right. You just assume there's going to be a party and all this and that. So you kind of you have the neighbors watch. Like I'll have somebody watching the house while Logan's running the show by himself. But it should be entertaining.
Nice. I need no supervision.
No, you need a lot of supervision. You guys can find it. Thanks for tuning in to another Cigar Chat. Really appreciate it. Everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe. You can find us at CigarFederation.com.
Thanks, guys.
And... we're fucking back, and we can cuss now, and we can call Rob a douche, because he is a major douche. And
I felt like I was good today.
No, you actually weren't quite as douchey as normal.
No, it was kind of it was fun.
It was. It's always a good show with Nick.
It's fun. Nick, did you freeze up? Wow, we lost him like right as the show ended.
I know.
That's funny.
That was an accident.
Well, you held on long enough just for the show.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can.
Hello?
Your internet's lacking a little bit, but we can still hear you. And you made it through the show, though. It dropped off right at the end.
Perfect.
So that's good.
I think I had my email open, and I accidentally.
Oh, there you go. Well, we are still live, and this is still going out on our podcast, so don't say anything horrible about anyone. But we got through the bulk of the questions.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you gotta watch out for that. Although, I'm going to ask one question, and this is out to the whole group. I know Logan's answer. Jay Reiniger wants to know, what does your Pokemon Go Pokedex look like?
Dude, I don't even play that bullshit.
Yeah,
nobody?
I have no idea what that is.
I know. I'm not even doing it.
He's got 88, apparently. So that's good.
That just goes to show you what our U.S. military is doing during their working hours. They're playing Pokemon Go.
He's at home. He's in off time. He's in peacetime. It's peacetime.
Hey, man, there's always an enemy to be fought.
My wife does play the Pokemon Go, I will admit. And I'll admit it because she'll never watch this, and none of her friends watch this or listen, so they will never know. But there was one night, this was about a month ago maybe, and she had just started playing, and her phone makes this little like chirping sound when there's a Pokemon near. And it was about 10:30, 11 o'clock, and we're about ready to go to bed, and this is on like a Tuesday. And I had just turned off my light, and I rolled over, and I'm ready to fall asleep, and her phone went doo-doo-doo. And she's like, oh, my God, Pikachu's outside. And so she freaked out because there was a Pikachu outside. And she's out in our backyard in the middle of the night looking for Pikachu.
I still have no idea how this whole thing works.
I don't really know. It's
genius, actually. It's genius. And I how did I not come up with this?
No, well, I could think of a myriad of reasons why you probably didn't come up with it.
Or something like it. Now, I'm telling you, you could take a game like this and you could theme it after anything. Huh. You could have Star Wars. Yeah, I was just going to say, you could have Star Wars
Go. We're on the same page. I see the poster behind you. Is that episode 6 there?
That is, well, actually.
And you just froze up.
Yeah, we just lost him.
He got too Star Wars nerdy for us.
The Force just like really.
The Force just shut him down.
Shut him down.
You got all of them right there. But I moved the computer. That's what it was. I was trying to show the picture. It's all three of the original trilogy. It's all three of the original trilogy. It starts with to the right, moves to the left, and I can't remember where I got that from. But it's a limited print. I really liked it. Anyway. So anyway, we derailed. But what else do you guys want to talk about?
Dude, anything you want.
I don't know, man. I know that with the Pokemon thing, there's been people running around trying to catch these fucking digital Pokemon. And didn't someone get hit by a car or something?
I think there's a lot of rumors about that. So basically, like, you're looking on your phone, you're walking looking for these creatures. That they aren't there in real life, but they're there virtually.
Like digitally, yeah.
There were some guys in Southern California who fell off a cliff. But down to the beach. They didn't die. They didn't even get hurt. But it was a story because they're playing Pokemon Go. I think people have walked out into traffic. No one's died that
Can
I know of.
Can you give
of.
Me the basics? Just the
in case you want to download Pokemon Go so you know what's up.
What it is. Like what?
Well, you're basically, you're like each person, I'm paraphrasing because I don't play it, but I'm getting this from my wife. You're like a Pokemon master. That's like your thing. And you have to go around and you catch these different animals. There's 160 different ones or something to that effect. And they show up in places, that like real places. So you have to walk to this place to get to them. And they show up on your phone. They're not really there in real life.
Gotcha.
And you have to go there, and you have a certain amount of Pokeballs that you can catch them with. And you have to catch them, and once you catch them, you can put them in your like
purse?
Your satchel?
Yeah, whatever. Your I don't know, Pokedeck is what it's called.
Okay.
And then you can power them up, and you can fight people. It's very...
It sounds very childish.
It's a fascinating world we live in.
Isn't it?
We live in a fascinating... Yes.
It really is, but... I actually bought stock in Nintendo because Nintendo owns a bulk of Pokemon.
Really?
Thinking that it would really go up. It hasn't so much. But that app made $200 million in its first quarter. I don't know how apps make money, frankly.
Isn't it? Is there advertising on it?
I guess. There's got to be something. I'm guessing there's in-app purchases. Like you can power up your guys and shit like that. But it made $200 million in its first quarter. And that might even be... low, like, but it's just
that's
crazy.
Pretty savage.
Yeah,
like, is that a pipe rack in the back there next to
you? Yeah, well, I moved the computer, but yeah, it's I got a pipe that was made by Shooter, actually, handmade pipe rack by nice. one of our SigFed members.
And next to it's your bong.
Well, no, then this is
it looks like a bong, dog.
What this?
The green thing?
The green thing? No, that's actually a Boba Fett Stein.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So, no, now I have to hold on. Hold on. I'll be right back. We're gonna travel now.
Boba Fett Stein. That's hardcore, man.
I'm just glad you have pants on.
This I do have pants on. This is a Christmas gift, but it's a Stein.
That's awesome.
I've never used it.
Is it made in Germany?
China.
Yeah, it was made in China.
That I know.
Yeah, unfortunately. Made in China. I mean, nothing against the Chinese, but...
It is so good over there, man.
Now that we're talking about Star Wars, this was a gift from my sister. It's a Boba Fett that was made out of, like, recycled bike parts.
Awesome.
These things are pretty sweet. Like, there's so much Star Wars crap out there. But yeah, that's a pipe wrap.
So you're not a Star Wars fan?
No, not at all. Not at all. No, I am. I've just kind of given in, and
I heard there was a new trailer out.
It comes out tonight, actually. The trailer for Rogue One, which I'm actually really excited about this movie because I have a feeling it's going to be really good. I think I have way too much Star Wars shit actually here in the office. Even my bottle opener is a Rancor from Return of the Jedi.
That's awesome.
It's too much. Another cigar person made this for me. This is a coaster.
Perfect.
So, yeah, there's Star Wars crap everywhere in my office. I'm a child.
You probably got Han Solo tattooed on your ass.
No, but I've got a right here. Han Solo, circa 1977.
Jesus, you are such a douche.
It's all right here.
$10,000.
No, I actually played with it when I was a kid, so it's worth nothing. But I've got all the memories of me playing with it when I was a kid. So there's that. There's a joke there somewhere, but I'll pass it on. So yeah, I'm a big Star Wars geek. But anything else like tobacco related we want to talk about? Logan, any more questions?
I mean, I've got a ton of questions. I don't know if they're just appropriate for on air though.
Find the least offensive one and ask.
It's not offensive. It's more just diving into Nick's business.
I'll tell you if they're inappropriate or not.
Boom.
So how many things did you part pre August 8th that we should expect in the next 2 years?
Sounds no comment.
Okay.
Sounds inappropriate, Logan.
That's not inappropriate. I'm just curious.
No, it's very appropriate, but you're not going to get an answer.
Okay, that's one question. Two is that let's say the industry does go tits up, which I fully believe it's going to. At what point do you think, because you have a retail background, at what point do you think that retailers are just going to quit buying cigars that are potentially not approved? Do you think that's IPCPR next year? Do you think that's IPCPR 2018? Do you think it's sometime in between?
So I don't think that the industry is going to go belly up. It's definitely putting barriers to entry and to do business. I mean, if you see what, you know, Europe has been dealing with and other countries and just the tobacco industry in general in our country that has gone through FDA, the industry is going to survive and move forward. Unfortunately, it's not in the best interest of consumers or, you know, our business as much. I, you know, from a retailer's perspective, you know, unless you're buying really deep, which I don't think anybody's doing, you know, you there should be no issues buying product, you know, right up to the 2-year mark. And because we're a small business, we actually have more time to comply. We have more of a three-year window to comply. So, you know, I don't see as a retailer unless you're, you know, as long as you're supporting brands that are selling and moving, you know, I don't think there's any reason not to be buying next year or right up to the date. I mean, what do you think?
I disagree. Not like, I mean, I agree. You should buy. I mean, you're right. But like, from my understanding, is that
unless you're buying like crazy amounts.
Yeah. Well, true. But like, if like for example, let's just pretend that you know you got XYZ brand. You know, they're not gonna file, and they get the extra 6 months or whatever it is.
If
they don't file or they don't get approved, at that point that they get disapproved or the date ends, you technically legally can't sell their product anymore. And I've got a few buddies that are in the cigarette industry, and when that happened back, you know, 2011, cigarette companies bought back product. No one in the cigar industry is going to buy back product because these companies will be gone. So it's like,
yeah,
not for me, like, because I know that, you know, I'll be smart with ordering and stuff like that. But I think I was kind of surprised this year that retailers were buying as much as they had, or they did. But I think next year is going to be very telling because from a retail standpoint, like, this FDA thing really doesn't affect your business. Like, at the end of the day, you're going to sell to the customer what you want to sell to them, right? Like, yes, they might want something, but, like, if all you have a choice is a Macanudo, then fuck all your smoking is a Macanudo. But I think some of them are going to be very gun-shy, and you'll see a lot of the brands that are grandfathered are going to actually file, like yourself. I think those will pick up, but I think ones that people don't think they're going to file, that'll be the number one question going into Boost next year. People are saying, are you going to file or not?
That's a whole different scenario, you know, definitely, because that changes the game. I mean, I was speaking from our perspective. You know, we're moving full steam ahead in, you know, we have all the documentation and everything we need and have no reason that these brands will not be, you know, brands that will be around for a long time. You know, and even if it comes to laboratory and testing and this and that, I really don't think it's going to be that egregious to, you know, put, it's going to be extra costs. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be extra costs. It's going to be passed down, you know, to the final consumer eventually. So it's going to become more expensive, but yeah, I mean, if you're not planning on being in the industry and having brands, of course that as a retailer, I'm sure that would change your buying habits because, you know, but when people know about that, I assume people are not going to say anything until, you know, they need to if they don't plan on going for substantial equivalency or selling brands past the 2-year mark because I'm sure they're going to be afraid of holding inventory.
So you guys are having... I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you guys are having a real conversation, and I hate to do this, but I'm totally going to interrupt. I've got, let's see, hold on. I need to figure out how I can show this to you guys, because I have got a screenshot that you guys need to see. And this comes, oh, here we go. This comes from Miller Man, and I'm going to screen share with you, and that is
Miller Man.
Nick, you're a Jedi there, lighting your cigar and a lightsaber. Classic. That is pretty sweet.
I dig it. I have seen that one before.
I've never seen this before, but it's awesome. Somehow there's not a picture of me doing that. I don't understand that. That is awesome. I just had to share it because it just popped up on the Cigar Federation thing. Yeah. Now we're recording the Olympics. I love the freaking Olympics, but we're recording the Olympics, and that new trailer is coming during the Olympics tonight.
So oh, really?
Do you guys
is
like
there a specific time?
No, it's just not that I know of. Maybe that probably is.
It's called Google.
I'm sure somebody knows exactly when it's going to come on.
Google.
I love I love the Olympics. I haven't had much time to watch any of it, but I usually always get into soccer. I was actually caught a little bit of, was it water polo?
Yeah.
I find that.
That's a tough game.
That's a tough game, man.
Because I assume they can't touch the bottom.
I was asking myself the same question. I said, I couldn't last 2 minutes if I couldn't touch the bottom.
Yeah, seriously.
And I don't think they
can. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
That's an Olympic size pool.
Yeah, there's no way they can touch the bottom. And I've got some buddies who played water polo in high school. I'll make sure to ask. And a lot goes on under the surface. There's a lot of punching and grabbing and twisting.
I'm grabbing. That doesn't sound very fun.
No, there's.
Is volleyball a part of the Olympics?
It is.
There's volleyball and beach volleyball.
I want to catch that. I'm a big fan.
It's interesting.
There's Norwegians in it. I want to see the Norwegian women play beach volleyball.
That's my people.
Is that your people? You're Norwegian?
Last name is Rasmussen. It's Norwegian.
Really?
Yeah. I know nothing about my heritage, as you know, which makes me a true American. But
Leif Erikson, check him out.
Yeah, I know the name.
And the Vinland map.
Eric the Red.
Have you heard of the Vinland map?
No.
Check it out.
I'll look it up.
Is this the map?
Is this the map where they went to Wisconsin or something?
You know, I don't know if they might have went to Wisconsin, but it maps Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
It's got the part of the whole part of the Nova Scotia, I'm pretty sure, and it's from like 900.
Oh wow, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
I think it does have.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
History is so fascinating.
I think it's actually held at the Beinecke Library in New Haven, Connecticut. You can actually go see it.
Here, this is it here, and you guys can all see it. That's.
Oh yes.
So it goes around Iceland.
There you go.
And it gets down in
Greenland and then
all that other.
See the name Newfoundland. They called it Vinland.
Huh. Yeah, I've never looked at this before. Interesting. But yeah, that's my people up there in Norway. That's where my father's father was born in Norway. But
interesting.
That's the extent of my Norwegian background.
My buddy Dave's got some Norwegian Viking. You're a Viking.
Sometimes I feel like a Viking. But sometimes I don't.
You definitely don't. You're not a Viking.
I don't throw off the Viking vibe.
No, man. You're wearing a freaking sweater and a douchey little fucking hat. Like, you're more like Euro, like Euro tart. Like, you're more like, I don't know, Spanish or something. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I had someone ask me if I was Jordanian once.
Jordanian? Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't guess Norway if I have. I always like to guess where people are from, and
the bulk of my lineage comes from Italy.
Ah, so, Italiano.
Yeah, that's where the bulk of my lineage. And I took Italian in high school, or in college actually, because somehow I had to take a language in college, and I had taken Spanish. I took Spanish all through high school, and I thought I'll take Italian, and they're so similar. I mean, they're different, but there's a lot of similarities, and it just jacked me up. And I remember I took the class, and it was me and my two roommates, and it was once a week. It was like 3.5 hour class, you know, on Thursday nights. And I got a gift wrap C in that class. She loved us. Me and my two roommates, she loved us. So we were always get a break in the middle of the class. And we would want to go out and smoke in between and during our break. So it was like smoke.
Smoke cigarettes?
I smoked Beaties at the time. I didn't smoke cigarettes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, word.
Those vanilla Beaties from back in the day in the little little yellow package. I don't remember what brand they were. Yeah.
Were they hand-tied?
Don't think so, no. I got them at 7-Eleven, so I doubt it. They did have a little filter in them, though. And we would always have to ask. Like, that was the one thing I remember how to say. Well, I know how to say question mark in Italian because it's punto interrogativo. And I just always thought that sounded great, just for question mark. But we always had to ask, like, can we go take a smoke break? And it was, Professoressa, andiamo a fumare.
Andiamo a fumare.
Which really means we're going to smoke. It's not really a
not
question.
Not really asking.
Right.
We're telling her, but no, she loved us, man. Gift wrap, see you on that class.
It's funny because I was working in Italy before I moved to Nicaragua, and I knew Italian when I moved to Nicaragua. So that's how I was surviving initially, because it was so similar.
Yeah,
I would speak in Italian, and at the same time I was learning Spanish. But now my Italian is pretty much gone because I haven't spoken it in like 13 years.
You replaced it with Spanish.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You've got a couple of things. You got question mark, and we're going to go smoke.
Andiamo a fumare.
Andiamo a fumare.
Allora.
Mario.
Yeah, that was a great class. That was awesome.
I never had to take a foreign language in college.
In high school, and we're so far off topic. In high school, they say you got to get up to like Spanish 3 or whatever it was. And I did in my junior year, and I didn't take it in my senior year, which was stupid. And I thought, I'm good. I don't have to take it anymore. And then for some reason, I had to take a full year when I got to college. It kind of bugged me.
Right. Mm.
Same with science. I tried to stay away from that. And math. Oof.
I had to take a lot of math.
I don't want numbers and all that. And now I'm trying to learn like the real basics of brewing science, like the basic stuff. And it's like my brain melts. Like I don't covalent bonds. Like get that shit out of my face. I don't know what you're talking about.
Covalent bonds.
You want to talk about your brain melting? I read something today where scientists have found this object that's out past Neptune. And they don't exactly know what it is. It's orbiting the sun, but its orbit is perpendicular to ours. So we're going this way, it's going this way.
Right.
And it goes the opposite direction. Like, try to get your head around that. Like, how does that make any goddamn sense?
Where did you read this?
On Facebook.
Believe everything you read on the internet.
It was linked to like NASA.com or something. It was an actual news story. I saw it. Jared Grillett posted it, and he's like a science teacher or something.
Oh,
that's a stretch.
He's a teacher.
That changes things, though. He's a
teacher.
My mom was a teacher.
There's some validity to it.
It's an actual real story, and it's a real thing that was found. Like it's not aliens or anything like that, but it's some mass that's out there that's. I mean, we're going this way or whatever.
You've heard about Apophis, right?
It sounds like the bad guy in the upcoming Avengers movie.
I'm going to look this up now because I'm a sun fanatic. I got into the sun a couple years ago, and I was just all about the sun. You know, they sent up a satellite in 2011, which gave NASA unprecedented views of the sun. So they're able to learn a lot of things that they didn't really know. For example, like the poles of the sun, every 11 years.
They do what? They do what every 11 years?
They flip.
Okay.
They flip. So the magnetic
polarity.
The polarity of the sun every 11 years flips. So there's these solar high and solar minimums of solar flaring, depending on the reversal of these poles, which completely affects Earth weather. I mean,
doesn't the Earth change polarity as well?
If we had a polar shift, it would be a big fucking deal.
I think in the history of the Earth, they've had.
It probably has. Yes,
it has.
But it's not in our life.
They have. Yeah. I think it was about 26,000 years ago. So we're
dead. Yeah, it's way before humans were around.
No, I think humans were around.
Maybe
I think
humans were around. Yeah, they were.
Yeah, the Neanderthals were around.
Homo sapiens.
Or not Neanderthals.
But Homo sapiens have been around.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe. Yeah.
It just seems like.
Right.
I don't know that we would survive a polar shift. I don't know how they would.
I don't know what the effects would be.
It would be weird.
Something like that happened, to be honest with you, Logan, because I don't want to I'd rather that go down than to be like, you know, what happened to Nick? Oh, you know, he got hit by a car. I'd rather like go out by like a meteorite or something, or like a pole shift. You know, it's just a
than getting hit by a car playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah, like some, you know, although that's not bad, but you know.
I mean, at least you'd make news, you'd be famous. And then
and your family could sue.
I guess we'd all, yeah, that's true.
You'd
that's
leave true. Them with some money that way, yeah.
I don't know, man. That kind of shit terrifies me, thinking about like an asteroid hitting, because like so, in a I don't know, you'd be fucked. Like all of us would die. Like something like small like that. I've already got the plan worked out if the zombies show up. Because Jared is a licensed Cessna pilot.
Oh yeah, we're going to your brother's place.
We're gonna go to my parents' place.
You're and gonna pick me up on the way.
No, you're fucked, Doc.
No,
can I fit in on this?
We talked about this. Hey,
if you are in the direct path from Austin, Texas to Clinton, Missouri, we will stop and pick you up. But he's got a plane, or he can rent a plane. We'll fly to Missouri. We'll put my brother, Forest Recon, Marine Sniper, up on top of the barn. We got cows for days. We have well water. We will make it. We will make it.
So let me freak you out for a second. Have you heard of Apophis?
Isn't that the asteroid that about hit the U.S.?
So
or about hit us like 10 years ago?
I mean, Apophis is the Egyptian god of destruction. And you can check this out. I think I heard Neil deGrasse talking about this. It's an asteroid the size of like the Rose Bowl, and they have it mapped, and it's coming 2029. It's going to be the closest observable object that the Earth has ever observed. They're saying it's going to come between the satellites, and they don't know exactly where it's going to hit on the Earth's atmosphere, and hence they don't know exactly its course after that. So they have something called the keyhole, whereas if it hits, you know, this spot, it comes around 7 years later again, so 2036, and they don't know exactly, you know, where it would hit at that point. Hopefully by that time we have, like, they can push it off course or something like that.
I'm just looking at 2036.
We're talking like it's getting in the upper atmosphere, basically.
Yeah, it's hit. However, it like skims across or hits that, they don't know exactly what. They're getting updates constantly because on the course and everything as it's getting closer. But yeah, they don't know exactly how it's going to affect, you know, when it hits through the atmosphere.
So you're talking 2029.
Yeah.
So that's 13 years from now.
Yeah, and I think it hits on Friday the 13th.
How in the hell could they possibly know that? But I guess, I mean, math is a hell of a drug. So.
Yeah, it's amazing what these people have mapped out, man.
I'm officially scared now.
It's awesome.
It's crazy.
I mean,
think about that.
It's April 13th. You know, yeah, April 13th, 2029.
We're spinning around in space on an orb, and nobody really talks about it. You know,
when you put it into terms like that, all right,
spinning. We should be freaking out all the time based on that.
So, yeah, Logan, we'll book you for that April 13th show, and
do it now.
I'll make that an event on Cigar Federation. I think we can do that,
and we could play this back.
Yeah, we'll spend the time watching it. Yeah, that's crazy. On that note, we're gonna have to wrap it up because we've been here.
Holy
for a while.
Shit, this is scary.
Yeah, and now Logan's freaked out.
I knew it almost hit like in 2004. I know. Hold on, man. Well, okay. Like we are fucked.
Logan is very glasses half full, by the way.
I'm so negative.
On that note, I am gonna wrap up the show. Nick, thanks so much for hanging out, man. It's always a blast to hang out with you and chat with you. I didn't know we were gonna start talking about like asteroids and stuff and comets and all that, but no, it's fun. I had a good time. The Tabernacle, seriously, when that hits the shelves at the stores near you, you have to check it out. I assume CigarFederation.com is getting it in the store. When they do, I will be purchasing a box. I just need to figure out which Patola I'm going to get, but absolutely phenomenal cigar. Look for it.
Thanks,
when it comes
man.
Out.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, and we'll have some reviews. I've got the Charter Oak review coming up as well. I haven't smoked those yet, but we'll get there. Nick, thanks so much. Everybody, thanks for checking out on the Cigar Chat. We'll be back next week. Logan's ranting show. and if he can go on with his life after reading about this comic.
Oh no, man!
I'm
definitely tuning in for that show.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. Everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe. We'll see you on CigarFederation.com.
Thanks, guys. Peace.